Okay, Simon Tofres, Yud Alev Raboisa, Sheleilu Yom HaKippurim, Dino Kiyoimoy. Yom HaKippurim, Leilu Kiyoim Lechol Dovo. Now this is the first halacha, Raboisa. We've been speaking about Hilchas Erev Yom HaKippurim for a number of weeks, number of shurim. This Simon is now actually going to discuss the halachas of Yom Kippur. These are the halachas of Yom Kippur. So the halachas, before that was all about before Yom Kippur. Now it's... Before it was a preparation, now it's actually Yom Kippur. So we're starting with the night. Yom HaKippurim Leiloi Keyoimoi. The night of Yom Kippur is like the day. Halachas are equal, meaning lechol dav for every halacha. Huma heim dorim asurim. But what is prohibited by the night of Yom Kippur, Rabbi Yisai? So firstly, melacha. All the 39 melachas are also just like on Shabbos and unlike Yom Tov. Additionally, achila, eating is forbidden. Shtia, drinking is forbidden. Rechitza, washing is forbidden. Sicha, oiling is forbidden. Ne'ilas, a sandal wearing leather shoes is forbidden as well. Tashmish amitav, marital relations is all awesome. Ve'ein chiyuv koreis, however, when it comes to the punishment, the oinish of koreis, which is the worst, elu ein chiyuv koreis, elu al melocha, v'achil v'shtia on the following, there is chiyuv koreis on achila, shtia and melocha. Now how do we know that the night is the same than the day? Sif Kotn Aleph tells us, Leilu Kiyoimu Dixiv Me'erev Ad Erev. There is a specific pasuk which is telling us the night, from the night until the night, which indicates clearly, specifically all the halachas that apply on the day of Yom Kippur, which apply by the night. Because we find by some Tanesim that the night is not as serious. We find by the Tanesim that, yeah. Now, Now, Siv Beis tells us, Kol melocha, all the melocha, shechayovim aleo b'Shabbos, any melocha that you do down Shabbos, you chayev, chayovim aleo b'Yom Kippur, you chayev on Yom Kippur as well. So everything which is also on Shabbos is also on Yom Kippur, v'kol she b'Shabbos potur, but also everything which is only rabbinically forbidden on Shabbos, gam b'Yom HaKippurim kein, similarly also Yom Kippur, it's going to be also on Yom HaDerabonon. Elo, Shabbos doinu b'skila. The only difference is the punishment, which is skila. When it comes to Shabbos, Yom Kippur is doinu b'kores, and Yom Kippur, the identical action will lead to a punishment of kores. Okay, now the next one is really important and is often forgotten and misunderstood. The culture also letalteloi b'Shabbos, whatever you're not allowed to carry, move around on Shabbos, also letalteloi Yom Kippurim is also forbidden to metalteloi Yom Kippur. Now, here comes some unknown specific exceptions. What are the exceptions? We're going to be talking about two exceptions, Rabbi Yisai. Yom Kippur specific exceptions. V'tiru, lenakev yorok v'lifzoya egoizim. Menamin chalemalok shechol v'chol. When Yom Kippur falls on a weekday, just like this year. This year Yom Kippur is on Thursday. So if Yom Kippur falls on a weekday, two things are permitted to do. What is it? Lenakev yorok, which is, Machlokes, what exactly what he means. The Mishmur goes with the understanding that it's probably talking about, this is what you do with them. You've got vegetables, and you separate the vegetables. You separate the vegetables, you've got the leaves of the vegetable, and you kind of cut it off. Okay, that's Nenakev Yerek, which would probably be the Rabbonon. On Yom Kippur, they've allowed it. So that's an exception. Yom Kippur, if you want to pull off some leaves of the stalk, you'd be allowed to do that. But Liftzoya Egoizim, that's very interesting. Now, Liftzoya Egoizim means to crack the nuts. Minamin Chavalamalok Shechol B'chol. So to crack the nuts is permitted as well. That's fine. Why would you want to open up, crack nuts on Yom Kippur? What's the purpose of that? To have them ready on Motzei Yom Kippur. This was one of the prime foods that people would have. Pardon? Oh, we'll speak about the children in a minute. But nowadays, the custom, we don't allow this anymore. So, in principle, there was two rabbinical restrictions. Pull off the leaves, as well as crack up the nuts. That was really permitted. These rabbinical restrictions were permitted. However, on Yom Kippur, they've allowed it. The custom has been to answer it categorically. Rabbi Isai, I have a little point about this. It's probably part of the heter it's probably part of the rabbinical issa that they've allowed. It's interesting. It's a very, yeah, you're right. It should have been awesome at Rabbanon, they're permitted over here. So good question. Why is this over here at Rabbanon, not the Reise? This Beloche discusses this. It's a good question. Achonim discusses why it's not the Reise. It looks like, it looks like because it's already cut off already, so all it is, it's mukta, whatever, so it's a tikkun, it goes in the world of the Rabbonons. Now, by the way, what about nuts? What about nuts, Yom Kippur? Does it ring a bell to you? Nuts, Yom Kippur? Hashanah, what? Chet, yeah? Chet. So therefore, we refrain from starting Oshana, ending? Shabbos Bereishis. So Bar Mishpachas Feingold, they have a minhag to start eating Shabbos Bereishis again, nuts. All the families have different, like Mishpachas Patka starts with Shana Rabbah again. It's not okay. Nobody eats nuts on Rosh Hashanah. But the question is, when do you start them again? When does Mishpachas Kegan start them again? You don't eat them. Okay, so you're like Machmed all year round. You're Machmed. You're distancing yourself from Chet. Very good. Very good. So that's probably when you can start eating nuts again. That's where it probably goes hand in hand. Seriously. So Rabbi said, but the question is, according to the minhag of Mishpachas Feingold, for instance, this is interesting because it's over here that Yom Kippur, you're allowed to crack the nuts to eat them when I suppose in Motzei Yom Kippur. Well, Mishpachas Feingold doesn't eat nuts on Motzei Yom Kippur, and nor do many other families. So it's interesting that there is the nuts are permitted whilst the minig of the Ramon. Yeah, I know. So you're right. So probably Mishpachas Tepamadir that minig that Motzei Yom Kippur. So it's interesting because it looks like it's specific. It's a bit interesting. Now, what is also very interesting is the following: Im Noflod Leikur B'Yom HaKippur. We'll get to the nuts in a minute. We're going to get back to the nuts in a minute. Im Noflod Leikur B'Yom HaKippur. Im Chatz V'Sholem, there is a fire on Yom Kippur. Mutal Hatzel Suda Achas. Very interesting as well. In Hilchas Shabbos, there is a very wide discussion starting from the Mishnahs down to a whole perik in the Gemara, down to Shulchan Aruch, whole simon. What happens if Chas V'Shalom is a fire on Shabbos? What are you not to save? How much? So Shabbos, and the halachas on Shabbos like this. If it's on Friday night, you're allowed to take 3 meals. If it's on Shabbos morning, you're allowed to save 2 meals. If it's before Shalosh Shudas, on Shabbos afternoon, then you're allowed to save 1 meal. Makes sense, makes a lot of sense. So what happens if there's a tleika on Yom Kippur? Chas V'Shalom? What am I going to do then? So I would have guessed, well, you don't eat anything, right? You're not going to eat anything. So don't start schlepping, don't empty out your freezer today. You're allowed to save 1 meal. Why? So you say the kids, but the Ramos says, you don't have to fast 2 days. So you're allowed to take 1 meal, which that's what you're gonna eat on Motzei Yom Kippur. That's what you're allowed to save. That's what's discussed in Simon Shin Lamed Dalet. Kitzad noigim bizman hazeh b'tleika b'Shabbos v'adim b'yom ha'kippurim. Yet the Ramah over there has got like a lot of colors.
Yom Kippur?
Lot Shabbos, you love that. I don't remember Yom Kippur. Interesting. Interesting. Okay. Now the Ramah gives us over here a bit of. I find it's fascinating. 2 lines in the Ramah, really fascinating. The Ramah tells us, "For v'noagat shati noikos mesachkim beigoyzim." I don't know where else in Shulchan Aruch the Ramah tells us of the customs of the children playing. What's the children to play? I find it absolutely fascinating. I'm almost blown away by this. Talmud tells us, the custom is, on Yom Kippur, children play with nuts.
Sorry to give them something to do.
That's certainly where the background of it. So he says that, now, of course, this is connected to what we learned a minute ago, that there was a, that you had to open up the nuts, for the Tzorich Motzei Yom Kippur. So kids were bored, and everybody, all the adults are davening, and the kids are, there's a limit how much you can, you know, so how much you can stretch the kids. And so it comes to a point, you say, okay, you just play. But what are we going to play? This is the pre-Playmobil and the pre-Lego generations. What are you going to give them? So the Gemara is giving us a fascinating historical and halachic insight. What they gave them to play, the minig was, they gave them the nuts. Now, I don't never seen this firsthand, but I heard from somebody from older than me, he said, yes, that was the minig, they used to play with nuts. There was a specific minig to play with nuts. I heard from somebody, told me, yes, that was the minig, they used to play. I suppose, give kids 5 minutes and they'll work something out. Yeah. Pardon? Yeah, that kind of, yeah, that's it.
Does it mean nuts or
conkers? Because conkers
is an old favorite.
It says the nuts. Allow the kids to play with those nuts. When this minik comes from, the source and the reason and the background of this custom is, we just mentioned now, that there was was allowed, you're allowed to crack the nuts open, and because it was allowed, so that's what the kids ended up playing. There's not many other things you could play. Now, it's very interesting because it's so interesting. I found it fascinating. And the Gemara gives us, you know, even a game can be a minig. It's fascinating. Even a game can be a minig. And it's a real minig. It's brought down in the Gemara. Yeah. I don't know when this minig got lost. I don't know if it got lost when, with the creation of, which toy outdid the nuts?
I think it was Space Invaders.
Space Invaders? 1980, that must be the one. Yeah, so that's the probably when. So until 1981, they went for the Goizim. And then, so I don't know why. It's very interesting. The Mishnah Berurah does point out an interesting additional halachic point. You've got new base. He says, Mizachim and Goizim, Vidavka Lashulchan. You've got to make sure that when you play with those nuts, you've got to play it on the Shulchan, on the table. And not on the floor. Because inevitably, if the kids are going to play on the floor and they're going to play with those nuts on the floor, what's going to happen? But the problem is going to be that this is earthen floor. And what happens if the floor is a bit kind of bumpy? They're going to end up smoothening earthen floor on Shabbos is a, here's the answer. So when they're playing, I don't know exactly how they're playing it. I think they're Rabbi Kagan's point of them playing you've got to have a flat earthen surface. So therefore, there was a concern that if they're going to end up playing this egoism on the earthen floor, they're going to end up flattening the floor, which is the answer. So therefore, you've got to make, you can only allow them playing on the table. Yeah. Israel Achille be Simon Tovrei Shoot Base. Israel Achille be Makipurim be Shur Kamoisa. Okay. Let's start Simon Tovrei Shoot Base. Ha'ochel be Makipurim Kuseves Agaso Chayev. Okay, so if a person eats the amount of a Kuseves Agaso, he's Chayev. How much is that? That's a little bit less than an egg. B'shir Zer Shavar Kol Odom. And that's equal for everybody. So Ben Linanus, whether it's a small, tiny person, Ben Oig Melech HaBashan, whether he's as giant as Oig Melech HaBashan, who, of course, the Torah tells us he was an enormous sized person, it doesn't make a difference. It's not relative. Sometimes we find that measurements are relative to the person. We find sometimes Amor, Tepach is relative to the person. Here, it's not relative to the person. The person who's got a little bit less than the Kibetzah is really Chayav the Reis. Lemaisa, I'm going to point out straight away that Halacha Lemaisa, it doesn't make so much of a difference because the Gemara tells us in Yom HaTaka that Chatzishir, also in Atar, that even less, any minute amount, chatzishia, half of shia, is also asuminatur. So this is only in terms of being the full-fledged issa, but even a half of an issa is also asuminatur. And if Allah Chamei says it doesn't make so much of a difference, even a minute amount is going to, for cholim, make a difference indeed in other cases as well. Rabbi said, summarize what we learned this evening. We spoke about Yom HaKippurim, the night is as restricted as the day. No differences. What is forbidden on Yom Kippur? Melacha. Eating. drinking, washing, oiling, leather shoes, relations. And we also learned that all the melachos of Shabbos are also also on Yom Kippur, besides the two interesting exceptions of the vegetables, and the separating vegetables, and the nuts. The custom is to be nevertheless stringent on those two hetayim as well. We spoke about the fire on Yom Kippur. You're allowed to take one meal. You're allowed to take out Chas v'Shalom. We also spoke about the custom of the kids playing with the nut shells. We also spoke about somebody who eats Yom Kippur. We just learned now that a person who's eating Kosev is a gaso is chayv, which is less than a kibetza, and it's shoy lechol adam. Nevertheless, chatzis shos from the rabbi's time. I'm going to take the opportunity to wish a ksiv chsim etayva and a good kibben shtya. The year should be full of brachas, full of hatzlocha, full of shatishmaya to yourselves, to your families, to your extended family. It should be a year of all the possible brachas shemekuyim to every single one of us. And only good things should happen. Mamash, only good things should be the shnas geula v'yeshua to us, and to the klal, and to Gans klal Yisrael.